Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
A versatile fullback. Remember, when you talk about having the offense that the 49ers offensive passing game coordinator, Clint Kubiak is attempting to bring here. You got to have guys that can move, you know, because it's an offense that's littered with movement. I mean, sometimes you'll have double motions. You got one dude going there, then another dude. And it's designed to create all kind of havoc in the mind of defenders to be able to figure out what's going on, who's going to get the ball and whatnot. It is a very live offense. And for them to have that type of offense here, it'll be fun to watch that. So anyway, we'll see what kind of, Xander Horvath brings. But let me tune up his draft film, fam. For Horvath, y'all put one in the chat if y'all can hear this. Here, this is his draft when he got picked up in a 7th round, 260 for the Chargers. This is his draft stuff.
Xander Horvath, a fullback, a little bit of a throwback here to close out the draft for the Chargers. Played 8 games last year, 5 starts. Played the first 2, then he missed 5 actually with a broken fibula. Baldy, you watched some tape on him.
Well, here's the deal about the Chargers. They're a 2-back offense. So when you scout these teams, Mike, you're either a 1-back or 2-back offense. So Gabe Neighbors has been their fullback. They play a lot of tight ends as well. And so when I watch Xander Horvath, he's a guy that can play fullback in this league. Now, you can't just be a fullback. There's not enough work for you. You got to be a 4-down, special teamer. You got to be excellent in that department. And so that's where he's going to have to really distinguish himself. But he'll be in competition with Gabe Neighbors, day one. And that's a big role, especially short yardage, goal line, and then protecting their prize there in Justin Herbert.
All right. So anyway, you could talk about
Horvath.
Xander Horvath, 6'1", 230 pounds. And listen, the film that they played on Xander was not, this wasn't it. I mean, you got to watch the film on him, do some research on this kid. He could play. And he's not just a fullback. He catches the ball. You can give him the ball on short goal line situations. He's athletic. He's not super, super athletic, but he's an effort guy. He's a football player. So, yes, this is a very interesting move. And, of course, that Adam Prentice is like a traditional North-South old school fullback. And I often talked about him probably being the worst. I ain't gonna say the worst, but probably the least of the prime fullbacks, probably the most forget if they, cause fullback's not used that much. But when the Saints bring in the Horvath and then you look at the film and study on the kicker, they're like, huh, this is interesting that they would sign him at this point in juncture. But when you're installing that offense, and of course he has leanings to our new running backs coach as well. He worked with him. So this could be a situation where they see Horvath as a guy that can help them in many different ways. So if you have the imagination, you can use them as a fullback. You can use them if you need them as a short yardage runner on the goal line situation. if he does have some degree of athleticism, he does catch the ball out of the backfield. There's tape that support that. And he's a tough guy to bring down. He breaks tackles, twists and turns. He blocks well as well. So not a bad signing by the Saints to reach out at this juncture of time and sign Xander Horvath and bring him here. Like I said, he's about 6'1", almost 6'2", 230 plus pounds. So good tape on him too, man. I was really impressed. About, yeah, Travis says they sound like he's not as athletic as Taysom, not as athletic, but he does have a versatile component to his game that I can see. If you have the imagination, you can see them fitting him in there because, like I said, those zone run, them long zone run schemes that they trying to operate, you got to have a lineman that can move. And not only move to get to where they need to be, but they also, when they get there, they got to know what to do. Like we last year with our offensive line led by Doug Marrone, the guys will pull and they get to an area and they would miss blocks. And that was so infuriating. So what's the purpose? What's the purpose of pulling those guys out there to get in front of Alvin Kamara? And one or two of them, either one or the other guy would blow the block and the defender would get there and kill the player or severely hamper the play, where a play that's supposed to be a 10 or 12 yard play turns out to be just 3 or 4 yards or 3 yards because they didn't block anybody. So this is a big part of the game when you bring all these people in here to try to terraform the offense from what it was into this whole new scheme that helps Carr. Because the biggest part of helping Derek Carr, outside of them keeping it real and working on his deficiencies in terms of him scanning the field and not staring people down, helping him work on his clock in his head, is they got to give him a running game. They got to give him a running game, which means they got to give him an offensive line. So Xander Horvath is a part of the process. So we'll see how they incorporate him into the team. So anyway, like I said, fam, if y'all got any comments, please feel free to throw them in the chat. But basically what we're going to do is I'm just going to recap the stuff that we talked about today. The Saints expected to release Michael Thomas. This is a report that kind of set off Michael Thomas today, and he just went on a tirade. He went Twitter crazy or X crazy, whatever the hell you want to call the thing, and went off on Jeff Duncan. And also we talked about Tyrann Mathieu. Shout out to Tyrann getting a 2-year extension. He'll be a Saint for life, probably retiring as a Saint. And of course the Saints did sign a new fullback in Xander Horvath, who's a former seventh round draft pick for the Chargers out of the University of Purdue. So that's not, you know, that'll be interesting to see how they incorporate him into the new offense. All right. So shout out to the fam. Thank y'all for being here. All right. Ramsey says, Q, I just celebrated my 34. Okay. Congratulations to you, my brother. 34 years, man. That's a good time. Man. That's a long time, man. Appreciate you, man. Shout out to you and congratulations to you and your wife for 34 awesome years, man. That's big, man. Listen, celebrate that, my brother, because that's a rarity, man. With all of the stuff out nowadays, you know, the culture is the stuff, the craziness out there, this crazy crap out here nowadays is tearing people up. So you got people at odds all the time, relationships tearing up, families being tearing up, and you see a lot of families broken up, and then you see a lot of broken families come together. I forgot what they call that. I thought it was a term for it. Like when you got broken families. Somebody that had a marriage that was split up or broken up, getting with another person. I forgot the term that they use for it, but you know, that's just something we're seeing a lot of nowadays. So what you got is very, very precious. So shout out to you, fam. Appreciate you. All right. Brian says, what's going on with Thomas? Is he getting released? He's definitely getting, his commentaries was, it was a 1-year contract. What are we talking about? You know, that's what he was saying. So how am I getting released if it's a 1-year contract? So that was his commentary. But regardless of whatever's going on, Michael Thomas won't be here with the black and gold for the upcoming year. So absolutely, Thomas is definitely out. All right. Arvin says we still have Jamal, Kamara and Miller as our running backs. If our offensive line gets good at run blocking, our run game going to be top notch. Indeed. Indeed. And like I said, bro, the key to it was last year. Was the Saints needing to solidify the running attack, in which they didn't. It was too topsy-turvy. It was too inconsistent. They needed to run the ball effectively during the early portion of the season, the first couple of months of the season, because Derek Carr didn't know the offense as well to be relied upon like that. And I kept saying it at the time, but there was no movement that outside of the black and gold, outside the diehards saying it and saying the truth and speaking the truth. These guys sat up there and watched it fall apart the same year. They didn't do anything. Didn't make any changes. That's why it just infuriates me, because, you know, I go into it thinking about, I was like, the new year brings new possibilities, which is a positive thing. But the new year will become the old year if the people that's there is not doing what they're supposed to do. Now, of course, we got a bunch of new people here, so we expect a higher level of accountability simply because the time is running out on them. This is the head coach's third year here. This is his third year here. So there is, and they can't really play we were 7-10 the first year under him, and then we're 9-8. That shows progress. They can't play that game because the first year the team underachieved, and last year the team was supposed to dominate with at least 11 wins, and it didn't because it wasn't thorough. They wasn't a thorough unit. You know, at times they looked disheveled, leaderless, you know, so it was a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, the last 2 years, the Saints were thoroughly mismanaged. The resources were there. You know, the talent was there. But sometimes if you're a head coach and you see something wrong, you don't sit there and let it be wrong and then sit blindly and stupidly like this guy did and pretend like, oh, it's going to get better. They're going to figure it out. And then they don't figure it out. The offense doesn't go where it needs to be in enough time for you to win enough games to get into the playoffs. And then at the end of the year, you sit up here making excuses or talking about you pissed at the end of the season because you didn't do it. And my question, like, I don't want to hear that, because they wasted time the whole damn season when people were yelling at them. They smoothed you out the way. They just made you seem like you didn't know nothing. That whatever you was talking about, you're a fan, you're completely out of your mind, you don't know what you're talking about. That's how they played it. In the end, what you did get was vindication, because you was right as rainwater. You was absolutely 1,000% right, and don't you ever forget that. They were wrong and you were right. But yes, absolutely, the running attack is supposed to be the thing that they used last year until Carr got comfortable. And remember, when they did run the ball well, the team did well with him as a complement to the running attack. Like with him operating off the play action, the team did well with that model, but they didn't stick to it. They wasn't consistent in their approach from game to game. They would try to flip it and make him throw the ball 30 times or 40. It was just foolish. If the guy was really hurt and he tore up, why are you having him to throw the ball 40 times in one game? And that didn't yield any results. So, you got to pay attention to a lot of things, and you have to treat the game as intricately as you possibly can. And Dennis Allen just doesn't have the resource. He just doesn't have the skill set as a head coach to pay attention to these things, to check these people when things need to be checked. You get there and you check it. That's what a head coach is supposed to do. But if the head coach head ain't on the team probably going to lose. So, you know, I just think about that sometimes. Hemisphere says, I hate it for MT. I hope he does well with his new team. Sometimes this happens, bro. Sometimes these guys don't end up being where they're supposed to be. They got to go. They got to get on up out of here. And Michael Thomas is one of them dudes. He just got to go. You know, he's tweeting his ass off, and it's time for him to go. Travis says, AT Perry has a big opportunity with Thomas going. Yes, indeed. Michael Thomas, this is already, we know this about Mike for some time, man. We know Mike was heading on out. We know Jameis is heading on out. You know, Jameis was a guy that everybody loves, but ultimately what ended up happening with him was that he was a guy that ultimately it just didn't, he didn't get a fair shake here. Like when he got hurt, he had to fight through those injuries that second year. And when he came back from injuries later on in the year, he wasn't allowed to come back onto the team and take his job back. They let Andy Dalton hold the job all the way to the end of the season. The team needed a jolt in the offense, and he let that team run in the ground with Andy Dalton. He refused to put Jameis Winston in there because him and Jameis fell out on the thing. And I would not want to work for somebody or be in connection with somebody that I can't trust, man. I mean, and this is what it is. these people, these are people. And so, and the team is kept together based on trust. That's what it's about. You know, you could pay people, you know, but really the top dynamic in it is you, the trust. You got to trust the head coach to work with him. What is this guy giving you? What is this? You know, you see what I'm saying? It's like you, if I'm showing you, and there's two monstrous examples of just backstabby, weaselly crap that I just totally don't disrespect is the him throwing the team under the bus at the end of the year and people saying that's not a reason for Jameis to not be. Listen, man, y'all crazy if you believe that. You know what? If a coach throws his team under the bus once, he'll do it again. He'll do it again. And that's what I'm talking about. When you supposed to know that's wrong, you don't do that kind of dumb shit, man. That destroys teams and your best players. Like, man, I can't mess around with this dude. This dude fake. And once you have that, that's fractures all in the team. And if you foolishly start moving players off the team because they're reacting in the correct manner to incorrect off-code behavior, and you operate in favor of the off-code behavior, you destroy the team. That guy who's running the team ultimately going to get fired, and then whoever comes in there will have less talent because you foolishly backed an off-code bastard that you should have checked from the door. So like
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm saying, I'm a cold guy, preach cold, because you don't have a chance without it. And that's how it operates in the NFL world. They got to trust you to play for you. And if you're doing stuff like backstabbing and lying to them and telling them they're going to play and then they don't play, and you do stuff like that, there are going to be issues. Like, there's no fractures. Like, oh, there's nothing wrong. That's what they said. There's nothing wrong. Oh, that's just, oh, we're just overblowing it. That a whole offensive unit on the last play just disobeys you and do something for a teammate. Well, you could have just let them have it. It's the stinking Falcons, for God's sake. Let them run the damn score. They would have did it to you. They had people talking about, oh, you don't do that out of the, man, that's not a, is it illegal for them to run it out of the goal line? Well, that's just a handshake agreement. What the hell with a handshake agreement? If it's not in the rule book that it's a violation that you can't run a play out of the goal line, then get your ass ready for somebody that might sneak you right down. If it's not illegal, somebody gonna end up pulling it. So that's what I'm saying, man. At the end of the day, off-code behavior you can't rock with that. Especially guys that talk about being real and keeping it a certain way. They're not gonna tolerate that kind of behavior. Let's keep it real here, man. Let's talk some real shit. Why don't we, man? Come on. Arvin says we need to find some way to move on from Carr after next year. I want a Super Bowl win, and Carr can't win us the big game. There's a slim possibility he can. But once again, it comes down to, can the offensive coordinator, who will have total dominance over the offense, get Derek Carr out of three things? Actually, really two things that can change his game. He's been in the game going on for 11 years now. Can Clint Kubiak, who preaches accountability, will he, one, not handle Carr with kid gloves, which that shouldn't be the case because he's an 11-year veteran. He doesn't need to be coddled because it destroys him. Two, get him to see the entire field as opposed to stare down one side of the field. And three, develop a quarterback clock in his head where he wouldn't just stand back there all day looking for people to throw the ball to. That's all wrong. So I don't know how he made it in the league doing that for all them years. I really don't know how he did it for so long. I'm just going to keep it real with you. I don't know. But there's a slim possibility that Clint Kubiak can come in here and say, listen, bro, I done broke your tape down. You can't do this if we're going to have success. Now, if you stop doing this, I promise you, you'll get a playoff win and we can go far in the playoffs. Because if you can stop him, and I know those are some two or three things, but if you can stop him from doing that, you got a chance because he got the arm, you know, and of course the accuracy is an issue, but he said he was hurt. So he got to work on that. So that's a whole nother thing, but we're going to see. The tough part about it is getting the running game going because the dude got the whole, not just him, but the entire offense has been studying Coach Payton's system, have to learn a new offense. So that everybody's going to be at the same level coming into this thing. So that's going to be interesting. Brian says, if Thomas gets released like he's going to, where do you think he's going to go? Probably to Denver. Why not Denver? I'm thinking Denver or possibly Miami with Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, somebody will find an opportunity. If he's that pissed off with the Saints, you know, he might end up with a rival somewhere. You know, you never know with these guys, man. I can even see him, but Mike is going to want to play for somebody that got a shot. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it could be a number of teams. Denver, because obviously Coach Payton, you might have Miami there as well. There could be Carolina in the mix looking for a veteran, but they got your boy over there, so it might not be the case. If he gets really pissed off, he might run to Atlanta, which I hope not, you know, would not. But there's several, but I think Coach Payton's Denver is at the top of the list, man, in terms of that. So what's next for the wide receiver position in New Orleans? They have to address it either through the draft or free agency. Now, A.T. Perry is a guy that has a lot of potential, but A.T. Perry, I don't believe A.T. Perry is ready for a starting role. I'm just going to keep it real with you. I think Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed are what they are, but I think the Saints probably going to look to bring in a veteran, you know, to kind of add to it. I know a couple of years ago they was trying to go after Valdez Scantling. Y'all remember that? And he turned him down to go to KC, which was a correct choice because he won a bowl up there, but they recently released him due to Saints didn't reach back to Scantling as an opportunity or find another wide receiver that has some thinking in their scheme and their system. You see what I'm saying? Maybe a guy from one of the teams, Minnesota or San Francisco, because, you know, you got Andrew Janoco, who's going to be the QB coach and the passing game coordinator. Does he gets one of his guys from a Minnesota or does Kubiak reach from somebody from San Francisco or just go into the free agency? But either one of those two places is where it's going to be because they're going to need some help from the wide receivers right now. Cause we got like two or three wide receivers currently under contract. And you got Rashid Shaheed who has an exclusive rights deal. So they'll end up signing him, but you know, you need some more depth there. So I can see the Saints more than likely drafting a wide receiver. I don't know if to say early, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. But thank you, Brian, for that. Irvin says MT will go to either Denver or, yeah, I say the same thing, bro. I think Denver is one of the teams as well. All right, Ramsey says, Q, watch Mike Thomas go to Dallas or Atlanta. Yeah, you know, if he pissed off about it, you know, you never know. All right, what's up, Jack? How you doing, man? Brian says, do you think the Saints will be interested in Saquon Barkley as a third running back or a second? Absolutely not, because Saquon wants going to want to get paid, bro. Saquon is going to want to get paid, and the Saints have two running backs they're very comfortable with right now and a draft pick in Kendre Miller. So their running back room right now is good. So I would have to say no to Saquon Barkley because Saquon is coming in as a starter. He wants to be a starter. He's going to command starter money, and the Saints are – they don't have a role for Saquon Barkley already. The running back room is pretty good. All right. What's going on, fam? What's up, Slint Child 17? Shout out to you, fam. Jack says Dennis Allen has more respect for his fellow coaches rather than his own players. Tuck says the relationship was broken long before we saw it on the field, and that's the leadership problem. Indeed. And that's what I was talking about. I got a little passionate too, because I'm thinking like this. You don't sacrifice, like, we know, and listen, I just don't believe in Dennis Allen. Why? Because he hadn't shown me anything, you know, and I 9 wins on a weak schedule this year and a weak division. No. And I know this upcoming year, things are going to be a lot difficult because these teams have new coaches in there. And of course, there's a learning curve there, but sooner or later, Atlanta's going to get it right. They've been stockpiling talent, and now they pinpointed the fact that they just need a quarterback. And there's rumblings around Justin Fields. Chicago obviously going to put Fields out there. They're going to draft Caleb Williams out of USC. So Justin Fields is definitely one of those guys. They're also looking at Kirk Cousins, who kills the Saints when he plays them. So they're looking in terms of having a veteran to guide an offense. They have a fantastic group of players there and their offense, and they're going to add to it in the draft. And Raheem Morris is a great choice for the Atlanta Falcons. He's a great choice. He brought in a great staff of people defensively. He's a defensive guy, but he brought in some talent from the Rams. So they're going to be bringing in the Rams offense there. They're going to be bringing in the Rams offense with Kyle Pitts and Drake London, who had a good season. Bijan, Tyler Algieri, Jonnu Smith, and the rest of those guys, those guys are going to eventually get it right. So is Carolina. They're working on it. They're tied. So, you know, getting Capellas there and with the stuff that he did with Baker Mayfield, how he handled Baker Mayfield's progressions and turned him from what he was into what he is now currently, that's big, man. Imagine what he can do with Bryce Young. So they had a good defense already. They accentuate by building up the offensive line. Sooner or later, these teams are going to get it right. And the Buccaneers are way ahead of schedule. So they read up with Mike Evans. The word on the street is going to bring Baker back, build up the team around Baker. You know, so what I'm saying is these teams are eventually going to get it right. So you got to make sure you handle the business. J-Rock says, Q, with MT gone, do you think Shaq Davis will have an opportunity to crack the 5 wide receiver roster depending on health? Shaq Davis is gone, bro. Shaq Davis is no longer on the team, I want to say. Let me research that because I want to say I remember him not being here. Is he still with the Saints? No, I think, he gone, bro. I won't say, he signed with the Eagles, fam. Yeah, Shaq Davis is gone, bro. That happened back in, because I remember looking at it, covering it, and talking about it. This happened in January. Hit an article right here. Shaq Eagles signed former Saints wide receiver Shaq Davis to reserve future deal. Yeah, Shaq gone, bro. Yeah, they wasn't happy about that, but, you know, it is what they recognize as talent. And, you know, and that's what the Eagles do. They just hang around us and pilfer talent. They've been doing that for a long time, pilfering some of the Saints practice squad talent, man. They've been doing that a long time. So, yeah, J-Rock, he gone, bro. Travis says Sean Payton will bring in Winston. Payton brought out the best in Winston before he got injured. All right. What's up, Colorado? Good. Everything was good, fam. I hope you doing the same way. Slim says, since releasing May, do the Saints sign a safety and free agent or stick with their young guns? Good question, Slim. It really depends, bro, because there are some really good safeties that's out there. I think Poyer got released by the Bills, releasing everybody. And Simmons from Denver, man, that dude is a baller. But, you know, it depends on the Saints' vision of the safety position. Like Marcus May, obviously, I think they see Jordan Howden as that. They just read up with Tyrann Mathieu for 2 more years. So it kind of fits like the Saints are going to keep doing the 1-year safety thing, like doing a cheap man thing, bringing guys like Lonnie Johnson Jr. or Jonathan Abrams, you know, cheaper veteran safety options, as opposed to, because a guy like Simmons is going to want some cake. to play the position, and I think they feel comfortable with Howden as the guy next to Tyrann Mathieu. But I think ultimately the Saints address the safety position in the draft. You know, that probably makes the most sense. Brian says, releasing Thomas, how much money are we saving on Thomas? I don't think it's a lot of money that they're signing on Mike, releasing and saving with Mike. I don't think it's a lot of money with Mike, because his base salary was 1.2. He had a signing bonus of about 8.9, a roster bonus of 2.2. So his guaranteed salary is 2.2. And he had, let me see, what did he have? Hold on. His cap number was 12.4. According to SportTrack, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but they're saying 7.9, but that's pre, hold on here. Let me see something, fam. Let me research. Oh, 1.2. If they designate him as a post June 1st cut, SportTrack is saying it's a savings of 1.2 mil for him. And before somebody asks me about Jameis, let me give you the information. Matter of fact, let me share this with you so you can see it with me. So as you can see, here is Mike right here. And they're saying this is a post June 1st cut estimated at over 1.2 mil for Thomas. And let me see. You scroll down to, where's Jameis at? Jameis is right here. And they got 1.2 for Jameis too. So about 1.2 for each one of those guys that you're looking at. So, man, that's pretty much what it is. So anyway, let's keep it going, fam. All right. Darwin says, hope we draft a QB in the draft because this is the best year to go get one. Michael Penix wants to come here. Michael Penix would be a good choice for the Saints, man. He really would be. Michael Penix is getting a bad rep because he got a lot of injury history during college, but Penix is a good quarterback, man. He'd be a smart pickup for the Saints. All right. Mark says, will the Saints get a quarterback in the draft? Who will it be? I don't think they get a quarterback high in the draft. Like some of the guys you mentioned, guys like perhaps Jordan Travis from Florida State's a guy that I mentioned before, because he'll be a guy that'll be available later on in the draft because of his injury situation. Maybe a guy like Pratt from Tulane. Who else was there? Michael Penix could be a guy that you're looking up as well. He could be a guy that you're dealing with that you can see them getting. But I don't know. Where do you take a Michael Penix at? Where does Michael Penix go? Where do you get Michael Penix at? In the third or fourth round? Where does he go? I think he probably would go a little higher than that.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.